Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello and welcome to our Season 5, Episode 7.
Orange is the new track. Right? Right? Not even
what?
A, oh my god. Because, like, Orange Ranger and track because of trains.
Oh, that's stupid.
Well, you can't. There's an Orange Ranger debuting this week, and I watched Orange is the New Black this week. You can't expect this to not happen. You can't leave me with these things and expect me not to make this.
I feel like Chris made this joke on Twitter.
When?
Like, just a couple days ago. Did you steal Chris's joke?
No, I don't even remember this happening.
Well, I'm officially announcing that this episode is named by Chris.
Well, I get the credit stolen from me within seconds. We're not off to a good start.
I'm now on Chris's timeline because I'm curious.
Chris has his own timeline? Why didn't we visit it? He was here. He could have been like, hey, take me home.
That's the timeline where it's just strictly... yes, he did.
What was he talking about?
He was talking to Morphin K and DigiRanger 1994.
Let's start
the conversation. Morphin K said, Orange Ranger's introduction episode is the Tokuger Debt. What? Hold on, let me try again. Orange Ranger's introduction episode in the Tokuger adaption will be Orange You Glad Orange is on board. And Chris said, or Orange is the new track.
Boom.
I didn't see it.
And this was on June 22nd.
This can't be the first time we've thought of something at the same time. Look at how many times we've spoken in unison.
That is
Chris
true.
Chris just wasn't here to say it in a sexy voice. Remember that time he said penis? It was magical. Wow.
Boom, Lord.
I still like the title, regardless. And I had to do something with orange, and there's nothing else that rhymes with it. I mean, this doesn't rhyme with it, but at least it's based off of something.
Wait, right. Rhymes with it? Nothing rhymes with orange.
I know, I said there's nothing that rhymes with it, but wait. I know nothing rhymes with it. I don't know what the point of restating my argument was.
I didn't hear the first half.
You'll
I only listened
later.
About, like, half of what you say.
What are you, Kevin?
It's just the easier route to take, really. So that's a good 3 minutes of pre-show banter.
It's like the pre-show, pre-pre-show Skype banter about pizza.
Here. So, 1-ups. What do we got going on? From Toys R Us, I got the Wave 4 Action Heroes, Super Mega Force, whatever. Except Red Zeo, because I was gone when they put them up, and then I got home and then forgot about them. And by the time
everyone
I remember,
was like, Tommy, yeah!
Zeo was gone. So I got 6 out of 7, but then I got Zeo from Amazon, put them up the other day, and I should be getting that tomorrow. So I will have all of those. I did find a Q-Rex at Walmart the other day. That's actually really cool. I do like it. So I've got that. I found Razar. It was the only new TMNT thing they had, but so he's kind of neat. Oh, what else? Nerdblock and Loot Crate here. Those are up on my channel, but there really isn't a whole lot. Like, nothing new has really went up for pre-order. I'm hoping to get the Applet Changer and the, what was it, Udo Breaker? It breaks dough.
udon breaker. It's a noodle breaker.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's actually a really cool name for a weapon.
That's going to be in the pasta base Sentai.
So I'm hoping to get those this weekend, but I feel like there's something cool that happened this week that I don't remember. I did pick up the Rise of the Darkspark game.
Oh, how is that? I meant to ask you that when we got on.
It's not awful. I've actually played like a level and two-thirds, because in the second level I got stuck at this part, and I'm being really stubborn and don't want to change it to easy mode. So I kept restarting this part.
I saw Bolt Matrix was talking about something really frustrating. And he changed it to easy and it didn't help.
I'll have to check and see if he's stuck at the same place I am, but it's a part where your Soundwave, Shockwave, and Starscream, and they split up, and Soundwave ejects Laserbeak because they need four people to get like this terminal access thing, and there's four of them scattered around. And so you're Shockwave trying to get to this terminal, and you need to like flip all five or six switches, and they're all guarded by these like Autobot guardian things, and so each switch has like five of these guardians there. And then these little ball turret things start flying around at some point, and so like the guardians are shooting you, the little turrets are shooting you, and then like this room is like full of electricity, and occasionally that will hit you. And so it's just all these things happening at once, and I can get one switch done, and then I go to the next one, and all of a sudden the little ball turrets just, like, appear out of nowhere, and I just get shot down and explode. In, like, 1 second, I don't even have room to run away and hide. it's a lost cause. So I got frustrated and turned it off. But, gameplay-wise, it's basically,
War for Cybertron
stuff.
Okay. I was gonna ask because I was so confused about it. Like, it seemed like they took the War of Cybertron games and smushed it together with like the Revenge of the Fallen movie game.
That's basically it. Because the Age of Extinction parts don't really have anything to do with Age of Extinction. They're more or less just there to be a like selling point, I think.
Movie cross like, promotion.
From what I've gathered, from what people have said, like they don't actually connect. Like they, the trailers kind of made it out to be.
But they don't. That's weird.
And apparently they don't like at all. It's just the movie verse with a Darkspark story and the aligned universe with an Allspark story. Or Darkspark story. So I don't know why they really marketed like that. I guess to hype people up and then crush their dreams.
Was it even done by the same developers?
That I would have to check. I'm not sure.
I didn't think it was. That's why I didn't.
It regardless of who did it, it's pretty the same engine, like exactly.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out. Maybe rent it at Redbox or something. But
yeah, I would give it a rent and see. But I like it because I do like the other games. It's just a matter of getting past that part where I'm stuck at. The aligned portion takes place between War of Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron. So
it's kind of unfortunate that they sort of went for that mismatch trying to do cross promotion, because they could have done like a sequel to the Cybertron games, and then they could have used this engine to make a kick-ass movie game. And taking their time on it.
The first level you play as Drift, and it was legitimately like fun. It was basically that engine but with the movieverse characters, and I was fine with that. It was fun. So I agree, two separate games probably would have been more ideal, but money and stuff, I guess, whatever.
Well, it just seems weird, but I'll check it out. Transformers. My turn?
I got nothing else.
Okay, let's see. I also got the 4-inch figures, or the 4-inch, the Wave 4 5-inch figures. All these numbers, man. But I feel like that was like a week ago. Did I talk about that last week?
No, you never mentioned them, but...
Oh.
No, I didn't mention them either, and I think I ordered them at that point.
Yeah, it seems like it's just forever ago. But I got those from Toys R Us, and mine weren't terribly destroyed. They, like yours were, they still weren't packed in there very nicely, but they put, like, those little, like, air tubes in there to make it seem like they were trying to be safe. But they were just thrown on top.
Mine had one little strip, like... No, mine didn't even have any in there.
You know,
fucking toys in the box.
You know what I just picture? I think the people packing them are like the guys that work in the animal control department in Parks and Rec. Where like they just throw them in there and they're like, yo, we gotta put these air thingies in there. Oh man. So they did that. But so mine weren't terribly destroyed package wise. I also found a Q-Rex at Target, and it was like a surprise because when I got to that Target, their Power Rangers section was really picked over, and I looked down at the Megazord section, and right in the dead center is a beat-up Samurai Clawzord. And I'm like, there's no way they have it. And I kind of just start walking down to go look at everything else, and then all of a sudden there's like a legendary Megazord behind it, and then right behind it one Q-Rex. Like, you could hardly see him, and I was just completely surprised because I was like, this Clawzord was like a decoy. So I got that. I got a box from Amazon with Armored Silver because I could not find him here. And then I found him a few days later, but luckily it's the same price. But I got that and the Yu-Gi-Oh! Seasons because they were at a good price. I just need five now. And I got my Burt Macklin action figure. So pretty much just expect any random pictures of that figure on Twitter with random Burt Macklin quotes. But I don't know. Even if the movie ends up being awful, which I don't think it will, I just like the idea of having a figure that can be considered a Burt Macklin figure. So that was kind of neat. I think that's pretty much it purchase-wise. I finished season 2 of Orange is the New Black, hence the title, and Chris and I's mind sex. And I started Supernatural, so I'm like 7 episodes into that. And I'm still watching MMPR. I'm almost done with season 2. So that's been fun.
I haven't actually gotten around to starting the second season of Orange is the New Black yet.
You're lucky. You still have episodes left.
I have heard mixed things.
I liked it. They sort of structured things differently in a way. So I'm kind of curious to see what you think of it. But I still really liked it.
As for me, it's the Steam Summer Sale this month, week. I don't know how long it lasts. I just know
what is time.
Bought a lot of things. So that's been fun. I honestly couldn't, off the top of my head, name all of the games that I've bought, but I know I've played quite a few of them over the course of this past week. Aside from that, not a whole lot. I haven't really been doing anything, so that's fun.
One of these days, Aerosol's going to come in with an amazing story. We're not even going to be expecting it.
Every so often, something happens. Usually, I've got nothing going on, but every so often, somebody gets hit by a train or...
or murdered or something.
Yeah.
Someone drives through a house. Whatever. It's a Tuesday.
Yeah. I can't believe all three of those things have happened.
It's like, normally, that would be stuff we're making up that's crazy, but nope, that really happened. I'm almost scared to, like, be around Aerosol at Morphicon. Like, what's going to happen to us?
I'm excited. Oh, only 2 more months.
1.5 in Dawson time. It's like, well, dog years, but with Dawson.
Time is hard. It is.
Yeah. Well, math is hard.
Time is the worst.
So, peace, how about Dan. Those local sports?
In Brazil. Oh. Everyone all
fucking
of a sudden
World Cup, man.
Caring about soccer. Oh, God, I hate it so much. I hate all sports, but I hate the fake enthusiasm that everyone here gets for it all of a sudden when we pretend we care about it now.
It so is really dumb. Annoying.
Yeah, because any other time you don't hear anything about soccer.
It's just like the Olympics. It's like, who cares? Oh, man.
USA.
That's such a weak chant.
That shows how enthused Brian is about the World Cup. Apparently somebody bit somebody or something like that. That's as exciting as it gets.
At least the rumor that everybody was freaking out about this, you know, taking Gaiman Tokuger off the air for 4 weeks wasn't true.
Rumor, that was confirmed. That was like day one. It was confirmed.
Aerosol like, day.
There we go. There's the peacebreaker.
That's right.
Well,
what? Go for it.
Oh yeah, it's your one-ups.
Yeah. I got my Oki box with Tricera Ranger, Kyoryu Black and Pink, and Blood Orange Arms Armor Change figure. And I don't think I've gotten anything else. I'm almost in World 5 of Yoshi. That's kind of the most exciting thing I've done. I don't think I've bought anything. I haven't had any money the past couple of weeks, so I don't think I bought anything else. I had the most exciting thing I've had is 3 small children at my house. As soon as they got over, well, obviously one's Kaylee, but the other two, and they got inside the door, I said, okay, we have 2 rules in my house. So the first rule is all food and drinks stay in the kitchen. Second rule is these bookshelves, you don't touch anything on them. Where my figure arts are. You don't touch a single thing on these bookshelves. So all this stuff is expensive, and they all came from Japan. No one touches them. So that goes for all 3 of you. And they actually didn't touch them this time.
That's impressive.
I know, right? I was very stern about it, and they knew they were all going to get their asses beat if they touched them, so... But, yeah, other than that, nothing has really happened since last week that I can remember anyway. I'm still waiting on the AmiAmi box and my AC04, but at least they're on their way, so whatever. We'll get here eventually. And Brian is gay.
So exciting.
I know. And Brian is a homo.
Yeah, you said that already.
Oh, well, I just want to make sure that everybody heard it.
Hasn't changed.
I know.
Alrighty, so time for the nudes.
I'm nude.
Where do we want to start?
I guess we can start with the Gaim stuff.
With me being naked.
All those can happen at once.
Sweet.
Well, not only do we have some plot details for the summer, for the Gaim summer movie, but we also have another episode that's a movie tie-in.
We'll now interrupt Gaim to bring you Gaim.
And it's episode 37, too, so that's coming up.
We'll now interrupt Gaim a third time. Thanks.
It's pretty annoying. Like, it takes away the complaint I have about it being a crossover of, like, Sentai or whatever the guy, Kikaider. But it still annoys me because, especially we're getting so close to the end now, that this is important times. And this type of cross-promotion worked back when the movies were a part of the show story, like, you know, a Double or Deno did it, where it kind of led into it, and that's promotion. But now it's just awkward. Poor Gaim. But Wizard accidentally falls into crossovers, and Gaim has crossovers falling into him. These two need to get together and have a drink and a donut.
That would be interesting.
I am curious to see if Gaim ends up having around the same number of episodes that Wizard ended up having, because Wizard went for, like, what, 52, 53? But it also had, like, two tie-in episodes or specials or whatever they were. So, yeah.
Depends on when Drive starts, I mean.
Yeah.
We'll know pretty soon, because the press conference for Drive should actually be any time now.
Oh, cool.
So, hopefully by next week we'll have a little bit more information.
We can hit the streets again, finally! But I was just going to say, I kind of hope it goes longer, like the same time as Wizard, not just because I want Gaim to get the proper number of episodes, but because I think it would be hilarious after all the Gaim shorter run confirmed. It's like everyone's jumping the gun. Oh, speaking of, I forgot the most major news from this week. There was a Highlights magazine type deal spotted, and the fandom freaked out. Spot the difference picture.
Don't let this fandom near a Highlights magazine.
Because they will start sketching over it, going, confirm, confirm, confirmed, and they'll like freak out. You gotta be really careful.
I can't believe the big cartoony pencil and the fact that Gia's hair was a different color didn't tip anyone off.
Of course not.
It's hilarious. Like, I guess I'll put it as like, let's this fandom is so eager.
There's a bunch of inaccuracies in this photo. Actually, I count seven inaccuracies in this photo. Here, compare it with this one.
Oh,
I don't understand. Is this from a new episode? It must be.
People are so dumb.
Corporate needs to define the difference between these two pictures. I already see three. There's no differences between these pictures.
I love fandom so much. I really do.
It's the worst. It's like when they found out about the split second of Wizard, and I was telling you about that a minute ago. The split second of Wizard in the Kyojuger or the Dino Thunder teaser, and like no one saw it. Damn it! I corrected. I should have stuck with Kyojuger. But you know, we sort of knew about that for a week. We thought it was Gaim for a second because Ranger Crew needed his eyes checked, apparently. Still, we known about it for a little while, but the bulk of the fandom didn't see it. Like I said, it's like trying to not get a bunch of idiots to see it. It's like, okay, we can't get these group of village idiots to see it, and then they spotted it and they freaked out. I saw at least four different like Wizard in Dino Charge confirmed things today. It was pretty crazy. So it's pretty annoying. Deal with these people every day, every fucking day.
Moving to PR toy stuff. See?
It all ties together.
It does.
Dino Thunder, power up.
Found a whole bunch of pictures for upcoming Super Mega Force stuff and Dino Charge stuff, actually. Real quick about the Super Mega Force stuff. It's, I think we mentioned them last week, the three Megazord set. Which actually is pretty cool box art. It looks neat. But it's just the three Megazords packed together. There's nothing bonus there. Yeah,
there's no difference. I saw people being like, man, I should have waited. I'm like, you know, all you get is a fancy box, right? It doesn't come with ice cream. I mean, if it did, I would be like, all right, I'm double dipping because ice cream.
Double dip.
Dipping dots. That's like ice cream from the future. It's like Phil of the Future left that here for us.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
And we have a picture of the Legendary Morpher with the 20 Ranger keys. And turns out that it is full teams of, well, the core five teams anyway, of Super Mega Force, Mega Force, Samurai, and of course, MMPR. So that's a thing. It's $80. Which in itself isn't an awful price for the Morpher and that amount of keys, but it's the fact that so many people are flipping out, going, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" And I understand if you don't have the Legendary Morpher yet, how this is actually a good thing, but so many people are like, "Oh, I'm buying that for sure," and I know what they have, and I don't understand why you would even consider buying this if you have all the releases up until now. You're only getting six new keys for $80.
I think that it should have just come with the 20 Red Ranger keys, because I think this is an ideal thing to come around the holidays for people that hadn't picked it up yet or kids. And with the 20 keys, you get all 20 main phrases. This one, you just get a handful of them, since with the exception of Super Mega Force, all the keys do the same thing. I just think it would have been a lot better with all the Red Rangers. Red Ranger.
Like,
sorry.
It would actually have been a pretty cool display piece, even.
Like, yeah.
An in-box display piece, if it was all the Red Rangers. It would, I don't know. It's, having the Red Rangers in there makes a whole lot of sense.
Which is why they didn't do it.
Exactly. I feel like we're one of the few people that are actually legitimately, like, upset at this. Like, I don't know.
It just makes more sense
because they get girl keys.
It's like when they came out with that Omnitrix and Alien Force at the end, that had all the little figures that you could get with the figures, the little minifigures that came with the 4-inch line. It just came with all of them, so you got all the sounds in one shot. That's the way they should have done it with this. Oh, wow.
Too much sense. But as far as Dino Charge is concerned, we have a cool little picture. I think it's an illustration, but it at least shows us that the six-pack that Toys R Us always gets will include the five Rangers and a figure of Dogold, which is actually
that's pretty
really
cool.
So I'm excited that we're getting a figure of Dogold, since Japan never really gave us one. So
or any of the other Rangers beyond gold.
And it did mention in the description exclusive battle gear, and it shows a picture of the Kentro Spiker. So I'm going to take a guess and assume that the individual figures' weapons won't be able to combine, and so the only way to get like a Kentro Spiker would be to buy the set. Regardless, I don't think I'm going to wait for the set. But
that's a really weird marketing decision.
Yeah.
If they had been like the Armed On or something, but I think the Armed On would actually be a decent variant for like the second wave while they're like waiting, because there's really nothing else. I think it would be really cool if in the second year when we get Supercharged, if we got like a what if everybody got Carnival, that would be really cool.
I thought you were going to say that.
Carnival. Apparently everyone's having mind sex. Everyone's taking everyone's ideas.
That sounds so kinky.
That's having mind sex?
Well, because Chris and I did secretly. We didn't even know it.
That's... What?
I don't know. I'm just... don't let me talk for too long. I told you. I'm like, Jerry, if you leave the spotlight on me for too long, I start wilting.
Awesome is having mind sex with your mother. That's what he said.
Chris is my mother? Awesome!
And earlier... this week, actually, like right after we recorded last week, Raz found listings in the Toys R Us computers, which were later also shown on a website. I forget what website it was, but the Legacy Saba and a Legacy Tiger Zord.
That sounds like fun.
I'm pretty excited.
I am, honestly. I really like both. Co in Die Ranger and prefer Tommy as the White Ranger. Saba was always a really cool weapon to me, and having a pretty close to 1-1 scale, at least as far as I'm concerned, that's what they're doing.
Well, knowing what the Dragon Dagger's like, Saba's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
well,
like, that's
there was a lot less bitching with him as the White Ranger than when he was green.
He didn't have to worry about his powers.
But yeah, like even though I had that whole MMPR fatigue, like. I really love the Season 2 Zords and all that stuff and Saba, so I'm actually really excited for it, and it helps that I'm actually watching Season 2 right now, so I have that, you know, gotta find the toys and play with them of what I'm watching. So I have to wait a while. I'll probably be in, like, Turbo by then, but I'm still really excited for these. I definitely hope it leads to the Thunder Zords, because those are, like, one of my favorites, and the toys we got for them have left a lot to be desired. And the set I got on eBay was, like, incomplete, so I can't even make the mediocre Megazord if I wanted to.
I think one of the coolest things about the Legacy Tiger Zord is that it, of course, is still using Zord Builder. It's tainting.
Oh, it's tainted.
Zord with Zord Builder ports. But
I should just call it Taint Builder.
I want to build the taint.
Holy crap.
I just don't get it. People are so dumb. It's just a different port.
Is that we could actually make, like, it's not gonna look as cool as the design sketches, but you can attach, like, the Dinozords onto like those the potential Do-2 sketches.
That would have been cool.
So that's gonna be kind of neat to fiddle with. Hopefully they design it in a way where stuff like that's possible.
Hopefully I can fiddle around with Brian.
Give it 2 months.
Month and a half, awesome time.
But the Tiger Zords are going to cost, $79.99, just like the Dragon Zord, and then Saba's going to cost $99.99.
It's 100. Stop with your psychology.
$99.99. It's under $100.
Yes, it is. So if it's a coupon that says that you need to spend $100, it doesn't work.
Damn!
Trust me.
Communists.
That means you have to go buy the one penny toys. They're really shitty.
Yeah, I know. It really sucks. I had to do that one time before I worked at Toys R Us, and I had a coupon.
And why don't you just buy a candy bar?
It had to have been. That's what I ended up doing.
Oh.
But it was just really annoying because I'm like, here's what I want. And like, the coupon won't work because you're 5 cents under or whatever. I'm like, son of a bitch.
And then he just threw a Snickers at his face. It would have been funnier if he threw a payday at his face and said, make it rain, son.
Everyone's bitching about the price
of Saba.
They really shouldn't, because considering the size it will probably be, and honestly, the price of the Dragon Dagger was worth it. Mm-hmm. It's really a good toy. Like, it's just like a replica. It's better than what they had on the show. It's better than the Jew Ranger footage one, and it's better than the shitty, like, bendable one that they had in MMPR. Like, you could blatantly see that the tip of it's bent, and, like, it's just so stupid looking. So, if it's the same quality as the Dragon Dagger, and essentially the same size as it should be, it's definitely going to be worth $99.
Yeah, I was expecting a higher price tag, honestly. Given what I assume to be the size and functionality that we're being described at, anyway. $100 is actually really cheap to me, so.
I'm actually hoping that they'll throw in a free blowjob with the Saba. The Tiger will give you a blowjob upon opening the box.
If it's big enough, you might be able to. Well, yours is kind of small, you can stick it in there.
No, I realize that me and Dawson are the same person, but that. Not all of me is the same as Dawson.
We're like an OCC figure, but with people.
You can mix and match our parts.
And then, finally, in a little bit of annoyance, so the MMPR figure arts are apparently doing so well.
Hold up. You forgot about the Legacy movie figures.
Oh, shit, I did. I forgot.
There's
going to
be Legacy movie figures. Fuck the police. I was wondering why you started off with an annoyance. I'm like, I'm actually happy about this. What's your problem?
No, I was going towards the figure at zero, but...
Do we need to step into outside or the bathroom where the Transformers are?
Let's step into the bathroom where I can touch you inappropriately.
But, no, I'm actually really excited. Like...
Yeah.
We've never had actual figures of the movie design.
Yeah, I never realized how dumb that was when I was little, but now I'm like, they come out with these new movie suits, and the way they market them is by making metallic versions of figures we already have.
And then end up making metallic suits in the show.
The show,
to further sell the metallic figures.
But,
went metallics.
I mean, some people were saying they hope they're not just the legacy figures we're getting now, but metallic. I don't think that'll be the case. Based on the way this line's been, and I'm like really excited because I really like the MMPR movie suits. Apparently, there's also an Ivan Zeus.
Maybe he'll actually come with Ivan Zeus.
That'd be kinky.
Skeet skeet. I'm sorry.
I want to hear that in Ivan Zeus's voice. Skeet skeet, motherfucker.
Rez did mention that there was 6 UPCs and. It says the assortment includes Avenues, which would mean a Ranger is getting cut.
But corrected it later.
He did say that there's a possibility that there's more that just aren't visible right now.
Maybe Kim and Tommy share a number because they have to share a Zord later.
Okay, that makes
sense. I want Kim to get kicked out for being such a B.
In apartment 23.
Well, she is. Seriously, that spell didn't change her at all. You saw it. It was just the same.
We all know Kim's a whore.
It was. So now moving along to things that are annoying.
Your mom.
Like I said, the MMPR figurettes are apparently doing so well, and the fan base is so loud and obnoxious.
That's true.
Tamashii thought it was a good idea to move Sentai into figure zeros, and of course the first release is Dragon Ranger.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
Don't forget Bri, who heroically changed sides after getting his ass kicked.
It's your 2014.
And well,
it's definitely working with that ass.
It does. Like, one of the pictures is just, like, a big shot of the figure's butt.
And it doesn't look proportionally right.
It's got, like, a fucking crack and everything. It's really disturbing.
Oh,
but still green.
It does. He's got butt cheeks, man.
How weird would it be if it was just all one piece? Do you mean glue our individual butts together, or...
It looks, at first glance, the figure actually looks very nice. When you look at it longer, you start realizing that his thighs are huge, and he's got a weird ass.
Because the Sentai footage doesn't look like that, and not even the American Green Ranger footage has that fatness.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I hope... See, when One Piece moved to Figure Art Zeros, it actually did very well, to the point where they're still doing Figure Art Zeros for One Piece characters. Not as often as they did before, but they still are.
It's pretty much all of them. Figure Art Zeros, One Piece.
So, a part of me wants the line to succeed to a point where it's very similar to what happened with One Piece. I don't think it will. It seems every time they try to do something collector-orientated with Super Sentai, it just bombs completely.
Orientated?
Like the Sentai Bread line.
And Artesian.
Artesian!
So, considering they started with G-Ranger, I can basically guarantee that the U.S. market had something to do with this.
Yeah.
Well, we deserve it. Oh, absolutely. Because they don't sell that in our country, so...
So it'll be interesting to see what future releases are. I'm honestly expecting them to stick to like G-Ranger and Kiba Ranger and stuff. But
you know what I would love for Sentai Figure Art Zero? For them to be like those really cool Ranger Strike statues. There were like little mini Ranger Strike statues that came out.
Those were really nice. I never had like, any of them. But
like, they would be really cool to have something like that. Maybe not necessarily based off Ranger Strike, but like that idea of like this really cool pose with maybe a really awesome effect. Like they had Magi Red with like the flames around him. Like that would be something really cool.
You know, I am Magi Red.
Could do a Figure Art Zero putty with sparks coming off of it. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
putty.
They could do some really cool things with it instead of Green Ranger standing in his most generic pose possible. Why don't they get accurate MMPR Green Ranger falling over sick pose? Like, that's what he did. He was all like, oh, man. He basically talked like Matt. He's like, oh, man.
Oh, my God, he did.
Rewatching it, it is really bad.
He's, like, pathetic. It's almost sad. It's like, JDF, what happened to you?
A couple other things did go up at the same time. Kamen Rider Femme Bomb
Siren.
I want to mate with her.
That's sexy ass.
Deno wing form, which looks very nice.
Oh, I love wing form. Oh my god.
Brawly from DBZ, which is the most hysterical thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's a tumor.
The biggest tits ever.
You know,
they're bigger than the ones lying next to me right now.
Brawly is like the worst thing ever. Like, his backstory is shit. He is mad at Goku because he kept him up when he was a baby. Can you believe that? They thought that was a good idea. This is a good backstory. Grant, it's Dragon Ball. It's dumb. But that was really dumb.
Come on, son.
The figure...
I can say it.
The figure in general just looks really bad. But SIC Burr Kawani did go up too, and that looks very nice.
That is so pretty.
He has a sword that he never used ever, but it's cool.
He also has those thunder thighs. Apparently they're letting him get the Oreos over there at Bandai.
You know what I had the other day? Peanut butter filled Oreos. Oh my god. So good.
Only in R we start talking about peanut butter filled Oreos during
a
figure
discussion. There's a bunch of weird ass Oreos out now.
Like watermelon and stuff. Like what?
Oh, that's for the black people. Dawson, you fucking racist, man.
Bandai also announced.
You heard it, right, Brian?
That yes, absolutely.
Damn it, Brian.
In honor of the 15th anniversary of the first Digimon animated series, they're going to release Tai and Matt's Digivice is in some new format. I've read things where they're like, oh, they're remaking them. But honestly, if they're remaking that toy and then trying to sell it for $100, then you've got issues.
I will sell any toy for $100.
What I would want out of something like this is like to have a little bit better of a game in it and have like the color screen like the Fusion loader, the cross loader. If that was the case and it was like better than just flat out plastic,
Here's what I want. Like, I had that Digivice. For whatever reason, I always lose my Season 1 Digivice. I find it, and I lose it for years. It's like a very sketchy relationship with it. But but I can never hold on to it. So I kind of want one I can try to hold on to. But I don't want the colored ones like they made. I want one that looks like it does in the show.
Of course you don't want a colored one.
Is that racist? Damn it, they get a different drinking fountain. No, I'm just kidding.
They need to. You don't want to get their germs.
Look, you don't want to get anybody's germs. We should all have different drinking fountains. But anyway, listen, this is serious.
Big nose is sniffing on the white man's hair.
I want the Digivice to look like it does in the show. They only look like different colors when they're on vibrate. Like when they start vibrating and they're like,
Digiball, oh my god, Dawson, really?
Damn it, this is serious. You do not interrupt me when I'm talking about Digivolution.
And vibration, yeah, you fucking
like when they start vibrating and they're like, Digivolve, is that what they say? Damn it!
Sorry.
I'm so serious right now.
I can't even do this anymore.
Okay. They only change colors when they're Digivolving to Ultimate or to Mega. But like when they're not, they're just these gray little things. Like I want it to look like it does in the show. Where's that Digivice?
They're not gonna make that
in my diaper.
I want it! If it was like a diecast silver, it would look cool. Like I want it to look more accurate to the show. Like I want one. I've wanted one like that since I was little. That's been my dream. I had one dream, and it was important.
I didn't know you were allowed to have dreams.
Also, real quick, shout out to all the people who are complaining about
masturbation.
Comic-Con Armored Black Ranger.
Oh, I forgot about that guy. Take a minute. I hate people. Like, this, for me, this is the perfect exclusive, because it's something that I like, and if I get it eventually, I'll be happy, because the Black Ranger suit is my favorite. See? I'm not racist. No, but the Black Ranger suit is my favorite of the MMPR ones, and I really like the Gold Shield on it. So it's something that I like, and if I get it, I'll be happy. But if I don't get it, I'm not going to flip out. I don't know why people want it to be something unique. We went through this problem last year. People were up in arms. They were ready to, like, hold a hostage situation over the Gold Morpher. So, stop.
Now Dawson's threatening terrorism.
I said they were going to do it. Done.
Yeah.
All I wanted was a great Digivice.
And then, finally, shifting away from all of that nonsense...
All that racism.
About racism and Digivices. We got the Garo anime finally has a trailer.
Oh, yeah. It's really short, and there's not a lot to it.
Nope.
But... It's Awesome's penis.
It's a thing, and who does it mention?
I'm looking it up right now, because we are professional.
Hell yeah. I was looking to see if they mentioned what studio is doing it. Because the character designs...
Oh, Studio Mappa.
Studio the Napa?
Mappa.
Mappa. Oh. Mappa.
Oh, I see right now.
They haven't done anything that I'm particularly familiar with.
Penis juice. Huh.
It looks interesting because it's sort of a mix of 2D and 3D animation, which I think is kind of nifty. I think it's kind of cool that they kept the Garo suit 3D because it's CGI in the show too. So
it's interesting. It's a completely separate story from any of the other actual normal Garo shows. It does look nice, so. It's written by Kobayashi, so.
Just said that.
Everything's written by Kobayashi.
Doesn't count until Brian said it.
Yeah, this is a one of the few tokusatsu that have actually had an anime adapted off of their.
Oh my god, what does that mean for the people?
That's kind of neat.
No, but I mean, like, the people that want to refer to everything as toku. And, like, there's, like, the joke about them referring to cartoons as anime. This must just blow their minds. It's toku and anime at the same time. That must make Adventure Time toku and anime at the same time. Star Wars is not toku. Don't get
the,
it on
the
my
one
Star
conversation I get to be in on, and everybody's like talking in over it. And
sorry.
I think Dawson, or not Dawson, Kevin, they're both the same person. It was fake snoring over there.
Bigger, remember?
I thought he was strangling himself.
Yeah, that was choking.
Oh. Okay. I was.
You're supposed to be the smart guy on the podcast.
He's a smart guy. Okay, I'll stop.
What does distinguishing between sounds have to do with intelligence?
If you were smarter, you could do it.
Everything.
Because now it's time for
ramble time.
No.
Yeah.
No. What? No, that.
We already did that later.
Did I prematurely do
you
stuff to
there.
Brian's penis?
Wait, was he?
Yeah, he
yes,
was
he
there.
Was. He was. Oh. There. Oh, you were the guy with the thing.
I'm all, yeah, it's not final. Remember that? I'm the guy who always put the thing.
Superhero time.
Tokyuja. Oh, wow. Shupa Shinko.
Shupp.
No, that was last week. Kamen Rider Gaim. To beat Riders.
Why does Gaim get such a generic voice? Kamen Rider Gaim. Like, you sound like Brian when he's cheering America.
Why is Brian cheering America?
Because of soccer.
We were filling in time.
Are you watching soccer? How bored
More
were
like
you?
Filling no, in guys.
We were waiting for you to get on to do your one-up, so I started chanting USA. It's a thing, trust me.
I made a guy pun around the house earlier, and she was just like, no.
Amazing story.
I said, but I have to make the guy puns while Dawson's not around.
It had a plot and intrigue.
And penis. So we're on our newest Tokyo episode, whose number I've totally forgotten, and the
17?
Computer is 17. Orange showed up. It was awesome. I loved this episode. I liked how he just kept trying to die.
He was about right.
Like, he was just convinced he had to die.
To be fair, if I was in that world, I'd probably want to die too.
Oh my god, what is wrong with you people?
They're
complete douche nozzles.
Yeah, I wanted to gauge everyone's just sort of base opinion of the episode. Because I know Brian liked it. He mentioned
World
on Twitter
six,
that he did.
Motherfucker?
Yeah, I did like the episode. It wasn't like a holy crap, that was amazing, or anything like that, but it carried my interest a lot more than anything else Tokyo's thrown at my face.
Like, I thought it was a decent enough introduction of a six.
I liked it in the same scale of nothing's been happening, and then the Green Ranger shows up, so now something's happening. It's like that. Except he's orange.
We got Ticket Tokyo Rokugo Puppet.
I kind of want that, like, as a thing.
I know. I want one. My conductor's like, dude, we can't go fight. I'm totally unprotected. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I just wanted to see what everyone's opinion of it was, because I didn't like it. I'm mixed on it, because on one hand, I actually do kind of like Rokugo. I like that he's sort of a gloomy character who doesn't really have any reason to be glooming, because he's, you know, he just kind of makes it rain.
Make it rain,
son.
Knew that was coming.
Sorry. So did she.
But, you know, his his whole reasoning behind repenting for his sins is because he screwed up people's days.
I ruined people's
and that's it.
Days.
Like, so I think it is kind of amusing that he's just this really somber character who thinks it's time for him to die, but the only reason he has is because he wrecks people's days and he doesn't like that.
I like
really
how
sorry
he,
for it.
He talks about what his like shadow ability is and writes like, why would that create darkness when they just think it was normal weather?
His monster form kind of looks like an evil gardener. like he's got one of those like gardening hats where like you water
stuff. I thought
he was
supposed to be like a gunslinger.
I don't know, but that's what he looked like to me. With my Dawson brain, like
a, I thought he looked like a scarecrow.
Gardens.
We all went in different directions.
Like, I'm very conflicted about his backstory, because on the one hand, I thought the reveal of why he was depressed was kind of funny, because it was like, I ruined people's days. And then it's like a bunch of scenes of rain. And I thought that was funny, but at the same time, I don't want everything to have to be stupid. Like, I was kind of looking forward to this idea of a monster being a ranger and seeing how he was and how he'd be different. And I just don't think everything needs to be dumb. And I was hoping he would be, like, this bright spot in darkness, if that makes any sense.
I thought we were actually going to get to see, like, his transformation. Like,
he did. Oh.
Like, no, like, that, like it wouldn't be a flashback. Like, it would actually, like, happen.
Oh, right, like, I know what you mean. I was kind of figuring that, too, but when I was thinking about it, I forgot to factor in the break last week.
Yeah.
So when I was trying to lay it out in my head...
It all happened in the break.
When the toy released, I figured we would have an episode where he decides to turn a new leaf and...
Animal
Rainbows or whatever.
Yeah.
And then move on to what happened, but since we had the break, that obviously... didn't happen, but like you said, there was a lot of parts that I did enjoy. I like his character. I think it'll be interesting to see how it progresses. If it progresses, I hope they fix the rain thing, because I feel like that would be a huge hindrance when you are inside the train.
Yeah.
Well, just anywhere. It didn't rain around him when he was transformed.
That is true.
That and it just rains outside when he's around.
Because
he was in the building and it wasn't raining in the building.
You know what I thought? My reaction when he described his ability and like what he did as a shadow was it sounds like this is an MMPR plot. Like Rita walks into Finster's little workshop one day and goes, "Finster! Make me a monster who can create rainstorms." And he goes, "Rainstorms?
I
want to
ruin
like
Kimberly's day. She's a real bee."
Yeah. Well, and she goes, "Yes, the Power Rangers are having some," and she'll describe some like little.
She got real quiet all of a sudden.
Fundraiser in the park or whatever the fuck they're doing. "And when the rain comes, they'll have to cancel it. And while they're depressed in their rooms, I'll take over the world." Like, it'll make no sense.
Or you could just kill them. You know who they are.
That actually accurately sums up an MMPR plot. It really does.
It does.
Like, that's what I thought of when he did that, and then I laughed, and then I cried.
One other small little thing I did like was when he tried to straighten his hat and it wasn't there. I thought that was funny. And superficially, I really like his suit, and I liked the fight scene. Nothing to do with William Pop, but just I liked the way that looked.
I like at the very beginning of the fight scene when he was using the... He was just holding it. He didn't even really think to use it as a sword.
Yeah. Which is funny because at the beginning of the episode, when he went to take out his little baton, he was, like, doing it all dramatically. And then he just sort of takes it out and waves them by.
What can I do with my penis?
I
just sort of takes it out and waves it by.
For whatever reason, it didn't dawn on me how dumb the Apple Changer is until I saw it in action. It's just not cool.
It didn't Mayor Max on me either.
The toy isn't much. In fact, the toy is kind of bad. But
you know what it's like? It's like one of those in like when you go into like a cell phone store, like a Verizon or whatever, and you see like the corner where they have like the discount smartphones that are running like this really weird like triple bootleg OS. That's what it's like.
triple bootleg you are.
Well, it's like clearly trying to be like an Apple or an Android or something, but it's just so jank. It's like as if Walmart made it. That's what it's like.
Well,
but
Walmart
the changer
does make penis phones.
Sure.
So, what kind of phone is this? It's an Apple. That's a
That's what
pear.
I keep reading it as. It's a pear phone. Yeah. I keep reading the Apple changer as the Apple changer whenever someone writes it.
Now, while I do actually kind of like Rokugo's character, everything else in the episode wasn't great. I don't know. It felt like they were trying to do something different with not only how he was a monster beforehand, which is fine, but also how they just kind of came across him, where the entire team immediately jumped to a conclusion like, oh, that guy that just so happens to be outside our window is the Sixth Ranger, right?
Well, I'm not saying that's how it normally happens.
Which I guess is amusing, but it is kind of annoying when everything in the episode just sort of happens. You know, it's coincidental, I guess. He just happens to be outside fixing the tracks. You know, we just happen to find out about the crew that fixes the tracks in this episode, and you know, that just happens to coincide with them learning of the next Ranger, and he just so happens to know of Schwartz. I guess they have a backstory together. I don't know. Everything just felt a little too coincidental. I would have liked to see a longer introduction for him, because we just sort of introduce him, and then Wright is immediately, you know, deciding to put him
Wright's
on the team.
Taken with him. He's very
and you know, that's on. It. It's sort of
because even
I don't
his
know,
fight,
it's so frustrating because it's so rushed.
Even his fight was like, hey, look, here's this new Ranger, but he's not like emotionally ready yet. Like the character's not ready yet, but they needed to show the stuff off. That's what I got from it, because he gave it back.
Not ready for his first time.
He's not done.
He got pressured into it.
He's cookie dough.
One thing that kind of got me was the fact that at the very beginning, they're like, so that's him? And then Conductor was like, no, there is a specific process in which we will determine who is going to be the extra person. And then
it was just going to be him.
Which is a complete dick move. And then apparently Wright is just like, it's him. And Conductor's like, okay. Like, is that that's their process? I don't know. It was a thing.
It was also when Wagon was taking selfies.
She does that all the time. I hate Wagon a lot.
It was about to take a butt selfie. like that's just happening. I'm like,
if there's one thing I hate the most about this show, is probably Wagon.
I agree.
There's nothing redeeming about Wagon whatsoever.
I agree, and I like this show.
Like
I don't like Kagura either.
There's nothing to Wagon's character. She just delivers food. It's like a robotic.
She wasn't even in Agito.
It's a robotic version of Naomi, except like it's a robot, so it doesn't have a good ass, and it's devoid of any potential character, and it's just useless and annoying because it just sits there and takes selfies.
I mean, in all fairness, she should deliver food because she is a woman.
she's like comic relief, but in a show where everyone's comic relief, doesn't work.
But there's nothing funny about her.
It reminds me of Forze, where they're like, it's just constantly like screaming, this is funny! That's what it's like.
Well, it is.
I like Rokugo, at least.
I do, and actually, I like him, even though we haven't gotten much time with him yet. I thought he was fun.
I don't care what people say. He's the first Orange Sentai Ranger. Battle Kojak or whatever was not. Battle Fever J doesn't count for anything except for being the first pedophile Rangers. That doesn't count. They don't count. I saw there was an argument about it, and someone said, well, then by that logic, Battle Japan's a white Ranger because he has more white than red on him. So, no, he is the first orange. I want to hear about Battle Fever J. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
You're so bitter.
I hate Battle Fever J, and I want a great Digivice. That's all.
I don't know how those two things are related.
They are. It's going to be revealed later.
All will be revealed when Dawson touches your mom in the underpants.
Dime, dime?
Yes! Let's escape quickly. Brian's like, quick, I found an exit. And then
vagina!
No! Guy!
That's an exit.
Okay, so Guy, this is the week Aerosol's finally going to reveal he's never watched the show. He told me yesterday. But so yeah, this week had some interesting things going on. We got confirmation that Fruit Loops is a girl. What's his real name?
Redway.
Yeah. Which
Red Eye
is weird because why wouldn't they give it a more feminine voice? And then there goes my possible. It's an alternate Michi theory, unless it's something about Michi we don't know, but. So there's that, and he essentially issued a threat, which in response, the world was going to blow up the city. I thought that was really interesting, because I don't remember anything like that ever happening before on Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
And then Bane was like, take control of your city! And like all that happened.
It was kind of funny that this is essentially the first Kamen Rider series where the world governments are like, there are monsters attacking? Yeah, no, blow it up. We're not dealing with that.
Blow that shit up, motherfucker.
Just launch all of the missiles we have.
Launch all of the missiles. Find all the mutants.
There's like two monsters. What are they going to do?
But so that was definitely interesting, and I really wasn't expecting it. And when they were talking about it, before it happened, for whatever reason, I was thinking we were going to see like an episode or two unfold before they launched it. Nope, they launched it right fucking now. They like took 3 seconds, and they were coming at him. Michi was like ducking, like, Michi, that's not going to work. Getting on the ground, kiss your ass goodbye. You're done. But we got to see another display of Rosho's power with – we got to see it before when he just crushed Cid, but he just – poof the missiles out of existence. He's like, poof, you're dead. So
you're like, poof the magic dragon.
But that definitely gives you a sense of power from him, which I really like that there's this weight to his presence. Not just like physically, look at him. But to his power, it really is like kind of terrifying based on who they've been fighting before.
Speaking towards some of the stuff that happened earlier in the episode, I love the verbal beatdown that Yoko gave to Michi.
Oh my god.
I really like it because it really kind of fleshes out Yoko a bit.
Well,
at the same time, it's like someone's finally telling Michi off because he just needs it.
I know.
I like how his rebuttal was just, go away.
Yeah, because he's yelling at her to get out of his home because she's like dirtying it up or something, and she just immediately is like, you don't have a home to go back to. With all the people you've backstabbed, no one's gonna be at home for you. No one. I love it. It's like because that's the whole reason Michi, that's what Michi was rationalizing, you know.
Why he's doing all this.
Of why he's doing it, you know, it's to protect the way things are, to protect that, his friends and how things are. He doesn't want things to change because that's when he's happiest.
And now it's so
and
twisted.
And now it's someone finally tells him, you know, you pretty much screwed that up. You don't have a home to go back to. There's nothing.
And then at the end, he's sort of realizing that, well, I guess I made the right decision getting in bed with Fruit Loops for now. That whole scene before she sort of told him off, when he walks in, that scene, okay, I'm going to make an Office reference. It reminded me of when everybody but Andy knew that Angela was cheating on him. Like, it was so awkward because Coda and fuck, I forget that bitch's name. Mai. We're like, oh, Michi, you're here. Let's all hold hands and drink hot chocolate. And everyone else is like, oh, fuck, this sociopath. And it just reminded me when everybody but Andy knew that Angela was cheating on him, but with Michi being
fuck,
evil.
This sociopath.
And so it was just so awkward.
And it was right when it was right as Yoko was about to tell them, because, you know, why shouldn't she? She has no reason not to.
Yeah.
I do find it kind of funny that even though Kaido is still keeping the secret, he is rubbing it in Michi's face that he's pretty much screwed everything up. Like, he just bends over and talks into his ear, like, don't you feel anything being here? Doesn't this disturb you at all?
Oh yeah, Michi does bend over, trust me.
I was talking about Kaido bending over.
Kaido probably bends over too.
He did.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, that's just a fact. It happened.
He likes it.
Going off of that, I have to say that I liked Yoko before, but that scene in general just made me like her character even further. Like, that was probably my favorite scene in the entire episode. It was so worth all this wait. And it's not even the big reveal yet. Like, that was just telling him off.
It's kind of a nice fix, because we're going to have to continue to wait a little bit before Koja and then Takatora confront Michi. So it's kind of a nice little, you know, you get something, because Michi really needed somebody to tell him he's an asshole. Like, he's really been an asshole.
And even right before she told him off, you know, when he's trying to reason with her and tell her that he knows who has the forbidden fruit and he can help her get it so she can be, you know,
he was truly trying to kill her off.
And she's basically just like, I'm not that stupid. I'm not like Sid. I'm not going to fall for that. What are you thinking?
Yeah, because he was, like, trying to manipulate her into getting killed. I'm like, this is happening. He's trying to talk her into dying. That's what Michi does.
He talks to bitches into dying.
Michi.
Talking her into dying.
And we did have a couple small little lighter moments, like the other writers fighting and Greedon trying to use Suica, which I thought was pretty funny. I thought it was a really cool scene when they all saved the people and their little jingles went off when they were fighting. And it was just nice to still see them around, at least helping out. Up.
I like Bravo and Greedon's comedy duo added a new member.
Poor Zach. He got roped into the LOL squad.
I love when he was like questioning if Bravo, how he knew that it wasn't Zangetsu, and he's like, excuse me! Like, you think I don't know my man's ass? Like, he was like so mad.
That was done way too well.
I've been practicing.
Oh, I bet you have been practicing with your man's ass.
For years.
But yeah, years of practice. I still have it. But yeah, that was pretty funny. Like, I still love that. That's like the first clue is that he can tell just by looking at his body language. Like, how could you tell that he's been getting his life together? Body language, you know.
I like how Koda's talking to Kaido and just like, yeah, look, if I had the golden fruit, I would fucking give that shit to you. I don't care about it.
Because we bros.
We bros, brah. We bros. And everybody knows bros be fo-hos.
Kaido turns around and just goes, you're an idiot.
Yeah, basically.
And I was just like, you are fucking stupid. It's like, thanks, bruh.
It's good to know you have my back.
I got your back, dog. I don't know why the most ghetto people.
And then there's a...
aerosol.
There's Michi's... What?
That's right.
What? No,
you don't know
meow.
My life.
That's right. God.
Oh,
wow, how about that?
There's Michi's little breakdown scene towards the end where...
It's his annual sort of, breakdown now.
But, I liked it because it is just him finally coming to terms with the fact that he isn't fighting for anyone else. He's doing it just for himself.
Yeah.
And once he has control, he'll just make whatever world he wants.
God, he's so disturbed.
We've definitely hit that point where I don't want to say that Michi is redeemable by any means, but for a while there was at least a tiny chance that, okay, maybe he could turn it around towards the end. Maybe he could be somehow redeemable. But just with this scene and just seeing how he's gotten the past few episodes where, like, it's weird to see him with other people, just knowing what he's done to them.
Yeah.
And he's just gotten to this point where it's like, he really isn't redeemable. Like, there isn't even that, like, remote chance. And, you know, maybe that's still a possibility, but it doesn't even seem like he's sorry anymore. Like, there's no feeling of remorse.
I don't want to see him be redeemed. Like, the only thing I could see happening is possibly, you know, if his actor
doesn't even want to see him be
redeemed. Like, you know, if he dies or whatever, he goes out, I could see it being one of those things where there's been characters in all kinds of shows where they're like super evil and they can't be redeemed, but they do like one last good thing. Maybe I could maybe see that if he sort of has a shred of humanity left, but I don't want to see that. I just want to see
him have any humanity.
Like, I just want to see him go out. I mean, I
want to see him go to Walmart.
Well, it's just too cliche in a way.
I would love to see Michi.
Him to have that. What have I done? I'm going to die protecting Mai or something. I don't know. But I want to see him go out. He just needs it.
Frank, could you imagine Michi in Walmart?
He would just plot how to take over. What's going to happen? Michi's not going to die. He's going to end up on the streets, have to get a job at Walmart. Last scene in Gaim, he's going to go into Walmart. He's like, how can I become manager and rule over all these people? And that's his goal now. He's like a super evil version of Dwight. So he's going to get so mad, and then there's going to be a spinoff about Michi being so mad that he can't get out of the position of assistant to the regional manager.
And then he starts a farm.
Exactly. God, Michi's farm. God, he just farm Inves.
Can you milk Inves?
Who's Michi's Moe's? I don't know.
If you try hard enough, I think you can.
You can milk anything with nipples. Do Inves have nipples?
Yeah, Ben Stiller taught us that.
I think Redway has nipples.
We know that now. It's underneath the Fruity Pebbles. Wait, they are the Fruity Pebbles. Boom. I'm sorry.
Next week should definitely be interesting. Spoilers if anyone hasn't seen the end of episode trailer for some reason, but it does look like we're finally getting that Michi reveal.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Although they faked us out a few times. For all we know, he just thinks that Zangetsu is about to shoot a squirrel. And he's like, Michi, no! So, I don't know. I hope it happens. Like, it's been a slow play for this.
I'm curious...
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm curious about... It's titled Michi's Ark, but it's spelled A-R-K.
Maybe he's building a boat with Steve Carell. And Morgan Freeman.
That would fit the Dwight thing.
I think it's going to be in reference to just Michi's plan in general, because Project Arc was the Humanity thing. And so I forgot
that there was something called Project Arc.
This is like his version where everyone just dies.
You know how I'm going to save humanity? I'm going to become humanity.
It sets in the fact that this guy totally just is embracing the fact that he basically kind of wants everyone dead. Like, he asks right away again, he's like, so, for real, you're gonna let me control everyone, right? And Ray's like, yeah, I just want toys.
And we're sitting there like, I know the feeling.
That's basically it. It really sets in that Michi's basically coming to terms with the fact that this is what he wants. He wants to control everyone, because he particularly had was it this episode that he lined that, or no, he mentioned, it was mentioned, but it was from a different episode where he says, my only allies are the people who do what I tell them to. Wants to rule everyone. He's actually more in line with, never mind. Something that was going to be wrong, so I'm just going to not say it.
Damn it. I got to know.
You'll never know.
He's more in line with, nope.
Well, Brian, how many licks does it take to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop?
World may never know.
Right.
But yeah, that line you mentioned was sort of mentioned in this episode Yoko when she was telling him how no one in there is going to do what you say anymore, which I was yet another aspect of that I liked of Yoko's scene.
You know,
I'm surprised she hasn't been the strongest character in the show, but she's coming around.
Yeah, because she was kind of an order taker until these last handful of episodes. And you know, I'm trying to think. I can't remember an arc in a story arc in Kamen Rider or a reveal that's gone on this long, or at least to the effect where there's been such good build up. I mean, I guess there's been mysteries that have gone from episode 1 till the end, but I can't think of one that's had just, like, almost every week, like, another, like, layer been added to it to the point where the conclusion of it's going to be so good. I can't think of another one that's been like this, where, like, the Michi reveal, like, that's been a long time coming. It's not like Kengo, where he coughed in episode 1, and then all of a sudden, in the final episode, you find out he's not even human, he's just a switch.
what a depressing life when you put it that way.
Like, I just can't think of another storyline that's paid off like that, has such build up like for the whole series, where like I just want everyone to find out that Michi's just a dirty little scumbag.
Michi's still awesome.
I feel like Michi's then going to try to redeem himself, and then Koja's going to be like, I just want that one delicious moment. Koja, do you see David Wallace in the room?
Why is Koda becoming Andy?
I don't know. I just wanted to mention David Wallace.
Is Koda going
to
become the villain of the series? Is that going to be really weird? And he's going to leave for 3 months on a boat trip?
And then Mai's going to get stolen by Pop. It's going to happen.
Shoot, pee-pee.
You don't even attempt to make like a comparison between Plop and some character in Gaim. Plop's just there Plop. Now.
Plop has always been there. Who's the Plop of Gaim? I don't know. Zach?
Jesus.
Kaito, I guess, if we're relating Mai to people.
Kaito is Plop. Then who's Plark? Zach is Clark, because he's trying to get Mai to his place to take news pictures or whatever.
I want to take nude pictures with Mai.
Michi
is Dwight.
I think that's legal in Japan, right? If I take nude pictures with Mai.
Is Andy?
It is.
Bravo is Oscar, obviously. Right, guys? Because gay.
God.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. It was there.
Bravo. So Bravo's Oscar then would greet on be Kevin?
I feel like he's more of an Angela. I don't know.
I feel like George needs to get in on this when you listen to this.
Costanza?
Yeah. Yes.
From Mega Ranger? he can figure out some people we didn't. Oh, man.
I feel naked.
No question. Who's Gabe? Gabe is Kurokage before he's died. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
And Ryoma is Robert California. That's the last one.
Who's Yoko?
I'm trying to think of a lesbian, because they're but who would... I don't know. Joe Bennett wouldn't make any sense. Meredith.
I think we've ran our course with this.
So Phyllis, then? I couldn't.
Okay.
I hope Dawson dies soon.
Me too.
That Dawson guy's a cocksucker.
Is it time for Garo's Corner, or did you guys just turn the corner and skip it?
It was an episode. It was boring.
It was really stupid, and I kind of hate the season. There, we done with the corner.
I mean, the episode could have been fine in any other show, but this is Garo.
What would be great is if we put Brian in the corner. But nobody put the baby in the corner.
Because, I mean, it
just wasn't. I don't know.
The episode just really wasn't relevant to anything like the past few episodes have been. And, I don't want to say that was a bad episode because it's a bad episode of Garo. It would have been a good episode of literally anything else. Or at least just a different show, not silence.
I mean, I don't.
Well, silence
is
fine.
I don't repeat you because that my thoughts mirror.
This is the best discussion in the history of this podcast.
That is the most coherent Brian's been in weeks.
Did I stutter?
Yes.
So you mentioned on Twitter that made you really want to rewatch Keitai. Was the actress from Keitai or
no? The guy was the old guy.
The old man?
Yeah,
he was.
Like,
oh wow!
I had to go to TVN's wiki because I looked at it. I looked at him, or well, they showed the picture first. I was like, he's familiar, and so I paused it. I went to TVN's wiki, and like, it just mentioned he's been in a lot of tokusatsu productions. I'm like, okay, and I clicked him, and so I was like,
guy.
Oh, Keitai, and then I was like, oh, he's that guy, and I couldn't remember his name. But
it's the vaguest conversation that ever made.
I thought maybe it was because Keitai did a couple of episodes like this where it didn't really seem entirely relevant until
Except
the end.
When Keitai did it, I liked it.
Yeah.
See, when I saw you tweet that, I thought you were just thinking, this show's boring, I wish I was watching a show I liked.
That too.
So I could be like, man, Tokyo's just boring, I wish I was watching Buffy. It's like that type of deal.
I miss Keitai.
I really
miss
do.
Buffy.
I just kind of wish I could always watch it.
I miss Buffy.
I wish I could always be crying.
That sums up Keitai.
That's basically, that's basically Keitai.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Because now it's time for Ramble, Ramble, Ramble time.
That was 50% more skitters.
We're fucked.
Yep.
I like how just as I hit record, Kevin died.
Wait, oh, there he goes. Ramble, ramble, ramble time. Boom. I just slinked some melee ramble. At him.
What the hell happened?
I slinked some melee at you.
I ramble timed and it was so much you just couldn't handle it.
Oh. He couldn't handle the 50% more skitters.
All right, so
taste the rainbow.
No, skitters.
taste the alien rainbow.
There you go. Dawson had something to say about Pokemon.
Oh, well, the only thing I wanted to say was when I read the description for this week, it said the Golden Magikarp, and I don't want to say I was excited, but I was at least somewhat looking forward to seeing the Golden Magikarp salesman. And I was like, hey, at least that'll be amusing and we could talk about it. He never showed up. I waited the whole episode. How do you have an episode about the Golden Magikarp and not have a guy dupe James into buying a Golden Magikarp? Hey, I got the steal for you. I don't know why he talks like that. But
why is he VZ17?
I don't know.
I got this deal for you. You'll buy the Golden Magikarp from me.
But
He's
giving it to the Jews. I was hoping
we know what you hate.
Up, but it was a pretty boring episode. I feel like they just spent the whole thing fishing. We just watched the cast of Pokemon fish for 24 minutes.
It was genuinely awful.
Yeah, but especially when you're like, all right, any minute now, that little fucker's going to pop his head up and try to sell him a Magikarp. Nope. So, I'm upset. Because he's my favorite character in all of history.
That's okay. I actually watched it on Saturday this week, like, in the evening. By the time Monday came around, I'm like, I need to watch Pokemon. Why isn't it on my DVR? Oh, wait. I did that already.
And it was so bad you couldn't remember it.
Like, I was like, what the hell was it about? I watched it already.
But that was the biggest disappointment of all of X and Y. Even if it turns around now to be the most amazing series ever, I'll be like, well, I was going to give it a good grade, but that Magikarp episode. Man. Speaking of Magikarp, turtles.
Your mother.
That works.
Well, you know, I would like to start off by saying that, by just giving my opinion that last week was awesome, because I was dead last week. So that was fun. I didn't even remember that Starenko guy. Like, Kiefer's on the fucking Twitter, like, oh yeah, he was like in episode 3 talking to the Shredder, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I couldn't remember at all.
That's Kiefer. He's like our...
I know.
If Chris is our Digisect, he's our Turtle Sect. That sounds like Turtle
Kiefer,
Sect,
man.
Like too close to it, but...
Oh well, I...
Kiefer is our Turtle Sect.
Have you ever seen turtle sex before?
Yes.
It's really
actually,
slow.
I have.
Okay, good. I'm glad, because me too.
Was that
the Brian! Sorry! He was never the same again after seeing that at the age of 5.
No, it's a different story altogether, but... There's not a whole lot going on here. I thought it was pretty funny, at the very least.
Act like a Krang.
Yeah, I thought that was actually, in terms of animation, I thought that was pretty well done, how they just kept that blank expression on his face, just like all the
yeah.
Krang.
Well, I actually wasn't going for that rap. I was going for, like, the voice rap trying to talk like the Krang.
Yeah, that was funny, too.
That was pretty funny. Like, he kept trying to, like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, he kept trying so bad. It was just,
like
Krang-tastic.
And they're like, what the fuck are you saying? That doesn't even make sense. I don't know what you're talking about. Poor Raph.
One of my favorite lines in this episode is... What?
Sorry, I yawned.
Oh. I thought you were like, stop.
Aerosol was like,
sorry?
Excuse me.
Aerosol was one of my favorite lines in the episode, and I'm like, fuck you, I don't care. Bitch. Shut your ass up, ho.
One of my favorite lines is just from like this little throwaway scene with Casey where he's sitting there watching the cartoon. And he's like, this show's all right, but where are the subtitles? I hate dubbed anime. I'm just sitting there like, oh, Casey's one of those fans.
I actually really liked that. Like, that was just so funny to me. It's something I wouldn't expect from Casey, and I don't think that's probably why I found it even funnier.
Yeah, because it honestly legitimately sounds like Casey in a way, because Casey's so, like, against everything, and, like, that's just such a, like, internet nerd thing that it just seems like something that he would say and do.
Yeah.
A brilliant reply from Kevin.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else I enjoyed in that episode. Yes, I'm here too, Brian.
It was actually pretty noticeable this week that Jason Biggs was not voicing Leo.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that was because it was noticeable or because I was listening for it. Like, I was like, that happens sometimes. Like, if you listen to Jason's terrible,
like, AI. Because you know it's not, now you hear it. Like, that's what you mean?
Yeah, but I mean, it like, to me, it did, like Aristotle said, it did sound a lot more noticeable, but I wonder if I'd never known anything, whether I would have noticed still.
I think it was a little bit more noticeable in this episode than...
Maybe that's why he got fired for this episode.
It was before, regardless of knowing or not. It was different, but it was still close, but not maybe to the point as it was previously, I think.
Maybe he'd already been fired, but still had to record this episode.
So he was upset.
I was just like, fuck it. Fuck these bitches.
You're fired. Why? I didn't even make fun of any dead chicks like the previous guy did. Well, we just wanted to get Seth Green because we're like, oh, he's kind of short and adorable. We like to collect people. Let's just get him.
You say you like to collect people?
I didn't say I did. They do. They get him and Greg Sipes. They could have like a sitcom. I don't know. Don't let me talk for too long. Stuff like this happens.
I personally have no problem making fun of dead people, so. That's why I'll never be on a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, that's why.
They have a show about dead kids.
Is that, like, still on?
I guess. It's what? Like, oh, it's that Haunted Hathaway show. It's a family of ghosts. They were probably murdered.
The Haunted and Hathaway show?
Yes, all haunted by Anne Hathaway. And they're like, Princess Diaries!
Fuck you, I like the Princess Diaries.
I don't know how ooh was an insult, but...
Because your mom said it was.
Oh, okay.
This bitch.
About right.
We are all over the place with this one.
Yep.
Brian, what's next week's episode?
Why does Brian know?
Because he's Brian. He knows
Brian's everything. Just going to say while he Googles it. He's not
next Keith. Episode
I was actually asking Brian so that I could look it up on Wikipedia in the meantime.
No turtle sex.
Next episode is titled...
next episode features turtle sex. Awesome.
Vengeance is Mine. And it's
stars
about
Stewie?
Vengeance.
You are... Amazing, Brian.
I don't have a little description. I don't know.
I would love for Brian to write the Comcast description.
Well, this says Leonardo goes solo to save Karai, but gets captured, so it is up to Karai to save both of them. God, Brian.
He gets captured. I didn't get to that page yet.
You're retarded.
I know.
It's about vengeance.
So that's interesting. I want to see what happens there. So I guess they're saving Karai in this episode?
No, they're going there to kill her. What else would they be doing?
You know, I don't like your tone.
And Leo's mad that he lost his voice twice.
Brian, the dude who voiced Bebop is the guy who's hosting Last Comic Standing.
Who?
No?
I can picture him.
JB Smoove.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
There's that ass.
I don't know.
Got it.
Speaking of that ass, Falling Skies.
Your mom?
No.
Well, you said that ass.
But can we move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Falling Skies time?
Yep.
Well, bye.
Aerosol's falling out.
He's falling
off Aerosol.
I don't have a place in this conversation.
I don't either, but I'm going to make fun of them anyway.
No. I don't have a joke.
That had potential to be hilarious.
It did.
Well, you know, I banged your mom later, so.
There we go.
Yeah, she liked it a lot.
So okay. Anyway, I'm going to let Dawson talk.
Oh, Brian, all right, I'll see you on side of conversation.
So, you should know better, Brian.
If you, say something, then I'll be able to react to it.
Wait a minute. Did you watch the episode?
Yes.
Okay. wait a minute. Let's stop this right here.
I just got done with it, half hour ago.
Okay. I really liked the episode.
I couldn't remember what happened last season.
Okay, well, that's what always happens. And I'm just going to comment on how every season of Falling Skies, they don't pick up where you left off, really. They just drop you in the middle at an undisclosed amount of time later in a new location. So you're always, disoriented as if, a flashbang just went off in front of you. So you kind of stumble around for 2 to 3 episodes trying to figure out what the fuck happened. And this episode gave you a false sense of security. They're like, la la la, it's only been 20 minutes, we're walking up a hill. Boom, lasers, gates. 4 months later, everyone's separated. And there's cults and kid academies. I'm like, wait. You told me it was going to be the same. I really liked it. I think that it set up for some really interesting paths. It's funny. Go ahead.
It's kind of set up in a similar way to the last season of Revolution was, where at least at the moment we have all these, all the characters are spread off into different little groups in completely different settings.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they eventually tie them all together, since, I mean, obviously they're going to, but, yep, you got it.
Man, just said, goat cheese for life.
Fuck yeah, goat cheese.
Goat cheese. That's his name.
It is. He's my favorite character because he's got cheese in his name.
It's amazing.
Ryan, you are an idiot.
You know it.
And they really haven't done something like that before. I mean, we've had episodes where, Tom and people will go off for, an episode, and it'll be sort of a bottle episode like that. But we've never had it where everyone's so separate. Because we got Tom, which I was really confused about. We have Tom, Weaver, what's his name?
The guy from MySpace? The
Pee Wee Babies guy. What's his son's name?
Hal.
Hal. He's like, don't fuck with the Pee Wee Babies. And then, one of Pope's old crew and Pope. And they're in prison, and I was very confused at first because I thought they were just in a really shitty area. And I was like, how is he in prison and also this vigilante? I'm like,
he's out of prison.
Yeah, I know. I saw that later. But when it first happened, I'm like, is this different points in time? And then later they revealed it. So he got put in solitary, and then the other guys are in Gen Pop, I guess, down there with Bellic and Sucre.
I want to put Dawson in solitary.
So that's interesting. And Pope's watching Gilligan's Island like Pope does. Which is funny because there's also a character named Pope in Prison Break.
That is true.
And then we got Matt at the Kid Academy, like a cult spendiness. I guess, which I read someone say, which makes sense, they assume that they stopped doing harnesses because they have the technology to cut those off now thanks to the Volm. So I guess that makes sense. That's why they're trying to brainwash kids. So we got a little rebellion brewing over there, which should be kind of interesting. It's kind of weird having him, Matt, essentially on his own. Like, he's got these friends there, but nobody we know. So it's kind of weird that he's carrying his own story.
It's funny when you think of how Lily was in season one.
I know. You always forget it. Like, you go back and watch rerun, and he's like, hey, Dad! I'm like, whoa, it's a munchkin. And now he had, this... Well, he doesn't have it anymore, but last season he had, this really dumb, weird, triangle curly mohawk thing. I don't know what's wrong with him. And then the most interesting one is the cult run by creepy Lexi, who's now kind of hot, and I'm kind of alarmed about my track. Like, if she's not of age, she's not hot. But at the moment, I'm very confused about the way I feel about her.
Jailbait.
You know, it's funny. When she creepily turned into the 5-year-old last year, I kind of assumed that next season she was going to become an adult. And I saw the little teaser trailers for this, and I saw the chick in white hair, and I don't know why I didn't connect the dots of those two being the same person. For whatever reason, when I saw the previews, I thought she was just going to be, like, the new Karen for some reason, which, yeah, she could be. But, yeah, Lexi grew up fast. That's how you have a baby in a survival disaster show. In Walking Dead, they're still carting this baby around trying to make sure it's not eaten or smothered by a small child. And in this one, they're like, you know what? Let's just make it a weird adult. And so she's got everyone drinking the Kool-Aid over there, including Maggie.
The actress is 23, so...
Oh, okay, we're all good. Okay. She is hot, indeed hot. This just confirmed, thanks to Brian.
Just looking out for you.
All right. But that's definitely the most interesting part of the show for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious, like what kind of power she has... storm control.
The preview, like, for the rest of the season, like, she's just fucking all over the place.
Yeah, like sex.
Like, spaceship and shit.
And she was like choking her mom with the force or something. I forgot that she's there too. Her mom is leading this little, like, remnants of the second mass, like blowing up trucks, wrecking shit. You know, whatever they do.
That's the group that you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah,
because there's no clear direction. They're just kind of doing their thing.
We'll probably see her more this season, because last season she really wasn't in it that much because she was pregnant in real life. So they're like, hey, let's have her kidnapped for all season. And then have her be in this really weird egg chamber until the last fossil episode. But yeah, I'm trying to think what else I was going to say. Oh, I'm just really curious about, like, what her deal is. Like, it looks like we're going to find out more about how she was born. Like, is she, like, a Sveni DNA and human, or is she Skitter, or is she somehow... How did it happen? Did they, like, inseminate her? Or is there just, like, alien sperm in the air that Tom just inhaled? And it makes
Ooh,
this,
alien sperm.
I don't know how that works, but... And, like, well, what her abilities are.
She said that she was having a dream about being touched.
Right, so clearly there was something funny. Tom's not even the real dad. It's going to be like an episode of Maury where they're like, here's the real dad, and this giant fish alien walks out.
They're actually trying to do a new spinoff called Touched by an Alien.
Like, I want to get touched by an alien.
The spiritual sequel to Touched by an Angel.
Yep.
And I feel like in the preview we saw like something hooked up to her belly, so I'm not sure, but I'm just curious like... how she works in relation to them then, like, because at the end of last season, we saw her, like, suck those mind control bugs out of Lourdes really creepily. Lourdes was creepy as hell last season. And,
to be honest, she's still kind of creepy.
Yeah, she's, like, dancing around, like, la la la, I didn't kill the mayor last season or whatever she did. She killed Reverend Canton and he woke up in Revolution. Thanks, Lourdes. But she did that, and she had some sort of, like, sense before the attack happened, and apparently she brought down a lightning bolt on a mech, and then, like, no one is touching her area. Oh, God, that sounds so wrong. You know what I mean? No one's touching the camp community that she set up. So I don't know whether they're, like, scared because she's Storm, that's also why her hair is white, or whether, like, they recognize her as some sort of deity or something. I don't know. It should be interesting. Thanks, Brian, for your insight into this. I don't know how I could carry on this conversation without you.
Me either. I love myself a lot.
I spent most of the episode confused. Yeah, so it was pretty standard Falling Skies premiere, honestly.
That's the way it usually is, though. But there's definitely some interesting stuff, and Tom's a vigilante now, and Weaver's crazy, and he's like, oh, I was in...
Who wants to capture him? It's the Volm?
Capture who? Yeah, well, they're trying to... it's the Eshveni. They don't know who the vigilante is, who is running around their camp is. because he just has that mask. They're unsure of it. The Volm, that's another thing I forgot to mention. We saw Coach E's, my favorite character, and he's like, keep the faith, Chief. And he like smiled. But that was kind of interesting because last season was one of the main plots was about the Volm landing to help them. And they landed and they made a huge deal about how they were trying to send the humans to camps and they were taking over the fight. And then they left. Like, BRB. Snacks. Carl Jr.'s got 2-for-1.
Not like half of them are dead or whatever?
Well, they said that they went to go... their planet where they were storing their like kids and stuff was under attack, so they only left a small amount behind. I'm going to assume that is for two reasons. One is to sort of make the threat of the Asfeni not seem so lessened by the presence of the Volm this year. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm assuming for the CGI budget.
Yeah.
Because I have to say, their CGI is fantastic. Like, it looks like you're watching a big-budget movie.
It really is. And I mean, it's been like that from the start. It's not like it was. It's got progressively better as they've gotten like a bigger budget or anything like that. It's always been really stellar in the series.
Yeah, take that, practical effects.
Yeah,
but I'm just gonna kind of assume that might have been one of the reasons because you know the Volm take a lot to animate and stuff, and I'm sure they'll be back possibly near the end of the season. But I could also see them wanting to do that because. With them there, it seemed like it was more of an even fight, and in the beginning of the season, they definitely seemed beaten down again.
Right.
But, and that's one thing I really like about Falling Skies, is that, it's, I guess, for lack of a better word, it's realistic. I mean, as realistic as a show about aliens is, but in the fact that it's not like, they win and they're like, yes, we won because of the power of friendship and we're family. They have to fight for like every inch they get. And it's like a really, really hard fight. And they have such a hard time, and, but they never give up.
And even then, when like something good does happen, like something bad happens, like instantaneously after that, they're like, hooray, something good happened. And then it's like, oh, attack, fences.
That's exactly, that's like the premiere just summed that up. But like the first few minutes, they're like, home sweet home. Fuck! Pope's fat friend got disintegrated.
Is that who that was? I couldn't tell. Yeah. He was only there for like a split second. He ran into the fence and exploded.
He's like, oh, this looks see-through. I could do it. But I'm looking forward to seeing them probably coming back together. They just, the second mass will not separate.
No.
But I really like that about it, that they have to like really fight hard for every victory they get, and they still are full of hope. And I think it's really nice that they're not like overly cliche about it, and they sort of represent it that way. And they've really come a long way since the very beginning, if you think about it. Well,
it's enough to kind of feel like a different experience sometimes.
Yeah, but
it's still very obviously the same show.
Yeah,
and well, it leaves it in a way that. It's always entertaining to watch because it doesn't really overstay its welcome or get very mundane.
Yeah, because we don't really stay in one place for too long. They're kind of constantly on the move. Like, season one, we were at the school for a while, but and then season two, they walked around a lot. Like, we were moving from location to location until we got to Charleston. And last season was kind of strange in a lot of ways. It kind of had a weird vibe to it for me.
At the end of season three, where were they going?
Back to Charleston.
Oh, okay, they were on the way back. That's what I thought. I just
yeah, because sure. They remember they were taking down that barrier so that the Volm could land, and then the Volm landed, and they're like, "Fuck your couch," and we're like, "We're taking over," and they wanted to send him to that camp in like Brazil and just to stay out of the way, and then they agreed to let the second mass go and fight, and then they're walking home up that hill, and then boom. They got a Shvenied. That's going to be a thing.
It's a new verb.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was really good. And this, based on the preview, the season looks like it's going to be really awesome. And I'm really interested to see what directions they go in.
Maggie, it looks like she's going to be talking with Ben.
Yeah, that's like, what it looks
literally
like.
Literally not like mind not games. Like, yeah, like literally. Sexing.
Yeah, that's. I saw that in the trailer. And I'm like, how the fuck is that going to happen? And they're separated from everyone. And her and Hal were kind of on the outs, but I don't know, man. I don't know whether she's under... I wonder if they're under mind control of some sort, or they really believe that place is peaceful, that they've become so tranquil like that. And if that's
going to... I don't want Ben to give in to it, because that's happened so many times with his character, I'm kind of tired of it.
Yeah. At least we don't have... I don't remember his name, but that little... I'm sorry the way this sounds, but that little black kid... That kid with the fro, he was like the first harness kid.
Yeah.
He was a piece of shit. I hated him. Like, they refused to kill him, and he kept fucking up their camp. Like, he was, like, crawling all over their walls, head spinning around, saying, fuck humans. And then they're like, it's just a phase. He's spitting acid at us. It'll be fine. I hated that kid so much.
It'll be okay.
But yeah, I hope he doesn't give into it either. I hope he kind of uncovers what's going on. Or something else I was just thinking of, though. I've mentioned, I love how far we've come also in terms of, like, this universe sort of getting bigger. Because at the beginning, it was very much, the humans facing this unknown Skitter threat, and we didn't know much about them. And we've learned a lot over the last few years of... that they're run by the fish people, the Ishveni, and then there's other aliens, and it almost feels like it's part of a larger sci-fi show now, mm-hmm. where they're like talking to other alien races and there's ships and stuff going on. But yeah, I really like the show. It's like my favorite thing about summer.
It is a really good show, so I thank you for that.
See, I told you, Brian, and yet you're not watching any of these other shows. The first show you watch, the Mighty Morphin with the mutiny.
Well, that's because I was cleaning. I didn't have to pay attention to it.
That's true. I can vouch for that. If it's within your shot, I watched it.
You got it.
But yeah, it's a really good show. That and Teen Wolf are like my favorite parts of summer. Such a long wait, though.
May not try to watch that.
Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
Yes. Just add more to the pile.
I got like several other things to do before that.
But it's really good. But... people really should not complain about the Power Rangers hiatus, because we've been waiting forever since Falling Skies.
Like, it's seriously, like, just a hair under a year.
Brian lived in a whole other house the last time we had a season. I'm just saying. He didn't even have a cat. He didn't know what cats were. So that's how long it was. Like,
did I have Bella when I watched it? Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It's the same thing with, Orphan Black is a long wait, too. Sleepy Hollow is going to be a long wait.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is even more ridiculous, and Orange is the New Black, so it's like, I swear, like, 90% of the Power Rangers fandom, that's the only thing they watch, because they don't understand that they have summer hiatuses. Like, every week, the Power Rangers Facebook is flooded with, what is it? New episodes. Right underneath it is some guy posting a picture of the Gokaidra cast, like, Gokaidra for life, make it showy. And then I back away.
And they actually talk like that, too.
They do. It's like an uncanny...
It's like, without fail, every single Power Rangers Facebook post, two of the top comments will be somebody saying, nothing beats the originals, with possibly a picture of the original five, and then somebody with a picture of the Gokaidra cast being like, nothing beats these originals. And then there's like one underneath it that's like, I love Power Rangers. And then there's like the Power Rangers Facebook responding to it like, love your support. Go, go. So that's exactly what you'll see if you want to look at the talk comments. Top comments. There we go.
I hate people.
Talk comments.
I just watched both episodes of Goldar and Me.
I need to watch the new one.
That's what I was doing while you all were talking about Skitters or candy or something.
Skittles. Taste the
death. Skittles trying to take over the world.
Taste the harness.
Taste your mom's rainbow.
But I think that's about it for Ramble Time.
Yeah.
Pussy.
This will be a... Is there ever a week where it's not on? I've never actually watched it live before.
I can't remember that happening too often. I think maybe once or twice, but it should run straight through for the most part.
Okay.
I think it might have happened once last year, but that's all I can remember.
Okay.
It was a big pew-pew noises. Alright, and now it's time for...
Final Things! I have a thingy, it's not final.
So, usual spiel. Go...
Masturbate.
Do stuff. That, too, uh-huh. It's important. Relieve stress. No, what are you supposed to do? Oh, yeah. Wait, is there even a caption image up? If there's one, do it. I mean, I didn't put it up yet. When that goes up, do a caption. I like how vague my instructions are. When that goes up, do it. So do that. Feel free to send any questions.
When your mom goes up, do her.
Anything else you want to do, do it.
Just do everything.
Just do it all.
Do Brian the mom.
Watch Teen Wolf.
Like the Nike slogan or whatever. Does that do it? I don't know.
The cow version is just moo it.
You're an idiot.
Oh, like the cow jumped over the moon. It doesn't have to all be cow stuff.